Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
There are places in Scripture where there's direct words, and there's also in the context, there is where the word refers to or infers that Christ is the bridegroom and the church's body is the bride. That we are a wife to Christ. That he is our Lord, he is our Savior. All of the titles that we call him, that we recognize in Scripture, and many of them have meanings to our relationship to him. And all the different facets and aspects. But throughout these passages, and I'm just going to not give you references, but just depend on your Bible knowledge to know that Christ is the bridegroom, and we look at things that even he said in parables, in stories, where there's the reference of us to be ready at his return and the bridegroom's coming. The Apostle Paul refers to Christ and the church in Ephesians chapter 5. You will hear me refer to that passage many times in weddings, and that the Apostle Paul is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in Ephesians 5, and he starts to talk about husbands and wives and their responsibilities, their roles that they're to embrace, the call of being a husband, the call of being a wife. And then he says, and this is a mystery, I'm actually talking about Christ and the church. And then yet he goes back to husbands and wives in that passage. I want you to ask this question. What kind of wife are we? As a church, as a local body, of the body, the universal church around the world, what kind of wife are we? And making it very personal, you know, we can ask it individually, what kind of wife am I? And maybe that's strange language to those of you who are men in this room, like myself, but understanding that I am part of the church through faith in Christ. And what kind of wife are we? What kind of wife am I? I think the Lord's been pressing in to get our attention. And I think to walk us through layers and layers of repentance in our life. I'll just be real honest with you. And you've heard in recent weeks, kind of jokingly, but you know, God, rattle our cage, poke us with a stick. Get our attention. Speak to us. Talk to us. And we know what kind of husband he is, because he's perfect. He laid down his life for us. Still intercedes for us. Still washes us. Still cares for us. Still calls to us and comes to us. Still rescues us. Never changes. Always faithful. But I wonder what kind of wife we are. As a church, as individuals. You know, I look at and not just with some critical eye. And with a spirit of criticism or with, you know, doom and gloom. That's just not really part of my makeup or my natural tendency, is to look at things that way. And so this has to press me a little bit. The Holy Spirit has to help me and help me understand. And so this is not just by looking at the news or reading headlines. This is about getting in touch with God and what is His Spirit saying and what does He think? In the condition of the general church in America, and I'm limiting it to America because, well, it's where we live and the church of Christ in other parts of the world, very different, and you know what? That's their business. I'm part of their family, but this is where I live. Okay? So I got to pay attention here. In the condition, I feel is that we are a wife that talks a lot about meaningless things. And we like to live in the protection and the provision that Christ gives us. We love the security of that. The protection that He provides us. The provision that He extends to us. The attentiveness of being able to call on Him at any time. And we like all of those things. We like what this marriage commitment has provided us as a church, as a wife. And yet, I feel like the only thing we do, the extent of the relationship that we have with Christ, our husband, is if it's just household business. We talk to Him about the schedule of our life and our timeline and our time frame. We talk to Him about what we want, what we need. We talk to Him about meeting the demands of the things that we have entangled ourselves in. Answer the demand of what I've been entangled in. Answer the demand of what I want, what I need, my time frame, my schedule. And yet, though we love the security of the commitment, we don't care much for the vulnerability of joyfully embracing our role and our call to be a good wife. In the beginning, God said it is not good for man to be alone. And He created for man, woman, was His answer. And to bring into Adam's life, in our now, our understanding of what a husband and wife should be, and that this parallel that we are touched by, this role of husband and wife in our life, because we are touched by it because we're here. We exist. We're touched by the role and the creating of a husband and wife. Now, granted, sin has gotten away and it has corrupted a lot of things. And so it has distorted our view. And I get that. We are impacted by that. But if we look to the One who created it and designed it and instituted it, with Him lie all the answers. And with him, he is the perfect husband. And he has taken unto himself a bride. You. Me. What kind of wife are we? Do we like just the security of the commitment that is offered in this marriage arrangement? And yet we don't like the vulnerability that calls me to embrace joyfully being a wife. I just want what it provides me. Or do I offer myself in relationship? Because in the beginning, the wife was created because Adam, it wasn't good for him to be alone. There's an element there and an inference there that it talked about relationship. It wasn't just about working together, though that is part of it. It is about helping. You think about this, those of you who are married or have been married. You can think about it in the context. And regardless if your marriage is good or bad or in between or it blew up or fell apart or whatever, you have some understanding and expectation about what it's supposed to be and the moments where it is fulfilling. And because of that relationship, there is a measure of, you know, it doesn't matter what else happens today, I feel invincible because of the experience of what I'm having right now with my spouse. Sad to say, those are not every day moments, it looks like, in humanity. But those moments where it does not matter what I encounter. The intimacy of moments where you close the door on the rest of the world and all the anxiety and all the interruptions and all the fears and all the apprehensions and all the past and all the hang-ups, and you close the door to the devil and it is two of you. Completely honest. Completely open. And the security that you feel and the safety you feel in those moments. What it has provided you. Where the man still feels like he's the man. Though he looks in the mirror and he is, you know, not what he was. But he still feels he's the man. Because of how she treats him relationally. And where this woman feels secure, safe, can be totally open and vulnerable, here to embrace with the goal of pleasing one another in all that they do. Christ in the church. God has called us to be fruitful. And once again, it's this command of a human parallel to the Spirit. When he created man and woman, he said, multiply, be fruitful. Right? When we are the wife of Christ, we are supposed to be fruitful. And I will tell you this, if we are not fruitful, it has nothing to do with the ability of Jesus. He is life itself. He is life. Life conquered death. He is life. Death could not hold him. Why? Because he is life. And so if we are fruitless, if we have no crop, if we are barren, it is because of this, that we like the security and provision and protection he provides, but we do not want to be close in relationship with him, and therefore we have no intimacy with him, and therefore there is no union, and there is no seed of him in us to bring forth things in the Spirit and in this life. We're barren by choice, our choice, not his. That's the condition, generally speaking, of the church in this generation. And we can come and go out of the buildings, and we can sense his presence. And we like that sense of his presence because it assures us that, oh, I was kind of in touch with him, and oh, he was with us today. And oh, I just feel, you know, in my soul so peaceful and satisfied, and oh, I just feel safe and protected. And now I can continue to be entangled in my life, and when the demands of those entanglements come along, I call upon him. Oh, I offer him things, and I serve, and I do some things. Work, as important as it is, and God has called us to it, and that everything we put our hand to is supposed to have the imprint and the glory of his name, we're supposed to do it as unto him, but I want you to know that work alone will not satisfy, as if God has longing for relationship with you. Let me ask you, sir. She does all the flower beds because she likes it, and she works, and the place looks nice, and you come into the house, and she has cleaned it, and she has prepared a meal, and the place smells good and looks good, and she's done work. She has worked hard. There is a satisfaction. There's a sense of pride in who she is. There's a likability, but she offers you no relationship exchange. Are you fulfilled? Are you satisfied? Because here's the reality. You can hire a landscaper. You can hire a housekeeper. You can have somebody else cook for you. You can go to a restaurant. You can hire a chef. All those things are nice and fall maybe into her responsibility to some measure. Forgive me for being a little traditional. Not that men can't help and contribute and do those things. I'm not trying to be politically correct by saying this now. I'm just telling you, you have to find out what works for you. But however, without relationship, there is no contentment and no satisfaction. With the Lord, not that he is human. We serve him and we do work for him and we want to do things to please him and bring him pleasure. But I want you to know that, you know what? The sacrifice of blood and goats do not satisfy. The work alone does not satisfy. It is about being with him, taking interest in what he likes. Why are we so busy trying to convince God to be interested in what I like or what we like? What about becoming interested in what he likes? What kind of wife are we? Are we calling the shots? Or is he? I mean, is he the head of the house of faith? Is Christ the head of the church? That's what the scripture says. Then are we allowing him to make decisions? Are we allowing him to give direction? Are we allowing him to speak to us, to have relationship with us, to correct us, to say no to something and yes to another? Or to say not now, or now. Are we following his directives as the head? Or do we acknowledge him as the head and like the protection and provision he provides, but we really want to run the show? You and I have all seen that in human marriages. We've seen the role reversal. What kind of wife are we? Well, I understand on the human level there's been some faultiness about husbands and the man and those kind of things. And so, you know, pieces kind of fall where they may and somebody's got to pick them up. And so they learn to do whatever, whether it was a marriage they grew up under or whether their own marriage. But we have a perfect husband. He is not faulty. There are no pieces to pick up after him. Are we going to have a relationship with him? Are we just going to kind of check in and check out and do a few things, and as long as we sense his presence, hey, that's good. We're going to continue to be basically fruitless because we will have no union with him, no intimacy with him, not allow his spirit to come in and really take over in us. Just kind of say, you can come in, I want you to come in, I want you here, but that's far enough, that's deep enough. That area is okay, not this area. I mean, are we content with really being fruitless? Or are we content with the amount of fruit that we've produced? Maybe we're not completely fruitless. You know, it's interesting, when Jesus called his disciples, he said, follow me. In other words, come and walk with me. Come and journey with me. Come and have a relationship with me. You can watch how I do things. We can talk together. We can share together. Life together. We can exchange how we feel about things, where we disagree, where we agree, how we feel about one another. And always walk out unified. Let me ask you something, single people in this room. Do you want the kind of human marriage that you are now experiencing in the Spirit between you and Christ? Because if there's something you're not content with in that relationship, I want you to know it's not his fault. You watch this in the Old Testament with his people, who he refers to at different places as his wife or his bride, his people, or he will be a husband to them. And yet there were times where she was not a good wife and the Lord withdrew. I've watched this on human levels. I've watched it. I've watched it for people where a wife was not being a wife. And though the man pressed and the man pressed and the man pressed, then come a point where he just withdrew. He just withdrew. He withdrew. I want you to know, in the scripture, you will find places where God withdrew. His people would not respond to his initiative. He was being everything to them. He would even tell them, look, and listen, this is what I've done. I've been faithful. I've been faithful. I've done this. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have all of these things. And yet, in the recognition of those things, his people, anything to do with it? They get in trouble? Hey, we want your protection, remember? Hey, we're running out of stuff. We need your provision, remember? But no relationship. There are moments where God withdrew. I want to read to you in Isaiah 54, verse 4. Lord speaking, he says, do not be afraid, you will not suffer shame. Do not fear disgrace, you will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth and remember no more the reproach of your widowhood, for your Maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He is called the God of all the earth. The Lord will call you back as if you were a wife deserted and distressed in spirit, a wife who married young, only to be rejected, says your God. For a brief moment, I abandoned you, but with deep compassion, I will bring you back. In a surge of anger, I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness, I will have compassion on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. Jeremiah chapter 3. I'll start in verse 11. The Lord said to me, faithless Israel is more righteous than unfaithful Judah. Go proclaim this message toward the north. Return, faithless Israel, declares the Lord. I will frown on you no longer, for I am merciful, declares the Lord. I will not be angry forever. Only acknowledge your guilt. You have rebelled against the Lord your God. You have scattered your favors to foreign gods under every spreading tree and have not obeyed me. Verse 14. Return, faithless people, declares the Lord, for I am your husband. I will choose you, one from a town, two from a clan, and bring you to Zion. Then I will give you shepherds after my own heart who will lead you with knowledge and understanding. Continues to go on. One thing about the book of Jeremiah, you can't just read it a chapter at a time. You have to read it as a whole book. What kind of wife are we? What kind of wife are we to live with? What kind of people are we to live with from his view? I don't mean just on Sunday when we're here and the outside of the cup is clean and ready for church. I'm talking about the inside of us and what we're like with him all week long. Are we not now? I'm busy? Are we not now? I don't feel good? Or not now? I have a headache? Not now? I'm tired? Are we all right? That's always nice, isn't it? Somebody finally agrees or accommodates us in our life, and it's not with willingness, it's with a, okay, all right. Well, at that point, it's like, we have no relationship. This is just some task, whatever it is. Well, forget it. Don't bother. And all we do with him is household business and no relationship. He's called us into relationship with him. Oh, he's called us to work and serve and occupy and be fruitful. But I'll tell you, none of that means much or does much when it's disconnected from the life-giving flow of our husband, Christ himself. There is a woman who, a couple who attend this church. They have been away for months. Many of you would know them, John and Colleen Juton. And they have a house here in Sparta, just outside of Sparta. And they have been in Minnesota working and away from this body. And by the way, they miss you. She's dropped a couple of emails and things like that and contacts with our office. Recently, she's communicated twice. Once to say, thanks so much for having the messages on the website. Little taste of home for them. We are. And she said, "Lord." First one was, "Lord woke me up in the middle of the night, and I think it was 6 hours. Forgive me, it was hours. I think it was six, I'm not sure. She was up through the night, the Lord woke her up, and she was just interceding and praying for you, for me. And it was a little while later, she contacted and said, the Lord woke me up again. I was praying for the church, and he's given me a prophetic word for the church. And she wrote it out. And she said, read this to the people. And my reply was, Marlene, would you please get Colleen through email and say, tell her to record it. She can read it herself. She can deliver it herself. And so what she did is I think she just took her phone and read what the Lord gave her, I don't know, maybe about a week ago for us. And she sent it as an attachment in an email. And so the production quality is not going to be great, but that's not the point of this. It's not entertainment. And so, are you prepared? Can you play it? This is a word from the Lord through Colleen to us.
Well, God woke me up this morning at 12:46 with a word, and so I wrote it down, and I'm just going to kind of read it the way he gave it to me. Oh, my people, I have sent you a shepherd. His heart is crying out for you to come higher in me. Do you not care? His heart is bleeding for you to follow me. Will you not listen? I come hither to me. Lay down your idols, sports, TV, materials, materialism, hobbies. Am I not worth it? Do you not care? Where is your heart for me? For I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have only wanted good for you. I care about your every need. I want to be your God and have you to be my people. So lay down your idols and follow me. I am your creator. I made you in my image. Rise up and walk in my ways. Be my disciples. Follow me.
Are we the kind of wife that just busies ourselves with other stuff? And yet our husband is calling to us. You see, it's not that what we busy ourselves with is necessarily sinful things. It's just that things that have come somehow in our life as a wife, and we place them and allow them to occupy in our life volumes of time that take us away from relationship with Him. These things can be acceptable things in their right place. But when they begin to infringe upon the intimacy, the relationship that God is calling for us, because one, He just loves us. Two, He wants to give us wonderful purpose. And He wants us to be fruitful from being with Him. That those that fruit, that there would be a lost world that could eat of it and recognize Him. A fruit that is in our life that those around us who we love and know and care for can eat of it and be blessed and give thanks to God. So what kind of wife are we? We're going to celebrate communion this morning, which He has provided by His body and His blood. By leaving all that He had and putting aside His personal preference, Jesus, putting aside His personal preference. It's not that He didn't have a heart for you. He was going to obey the Father. But hey, in the garden, let's face it, He prayed, if you could have this cup pass from me, hey, that'd be nice. And I'm paraphrasing. Nevertheless, Father, your will, not mine. He laid down His personal preference for us. And not because we asked Him, but because we needed it, and the Father saw it, and He said, Son, this is your bride. This is your wife. This is who I've chosen for you. Go and get her. And it will cost you body and blood, but you will conquered death and sin and hell, and you will take her unto yourself. And that's where He says, don't let your hearts be troubled, don't let them be afraid. I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house in many rooms. If this were not so, I would not tell you this. he said. And so where I go, you too can come. And that's, if you know anything about Hebrew history and biblical culture and custom, that's all wedding talk. That whole passage there is wedding talk, because that was a process, part of a process of how a man takes himself a wife. Well, the Apostle Paul tells us that we celebrate communion. Before we eat the bread and drink the cup, we're supposed to examine ourselves. And today, maybe the question that will begin the search of inventory and confession and coming into agreement with him, or battle and conflict between us and God, which is good because hopefully it works towards a resolve. We're supposed to examine ourselves. And maybe the question is, what kind of wife am I? Before I eat this bread and drink this cup, maybe I need to come to grips with the kind of wife I am, the kind of church we are, the kind of follower, disciple we are.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.